There is a German proverb, the devil is in the details. And this saying comes, people think, we don't know exactly. The saying comes from, you know, the devil causes us problems. And the details cause us problems oftentimes. And so the devil is in the details. For Christians, though, this phrase has even more meaning. And so I want to talk about the details in our service to God tonight. And I thank Scott Love for suggesting this topic for me. The devil wants us to think that the details aren't important. The devil tries to get us to not pay attention to the truth. He tries to hide the truth, cover up the truth, disguise the truth. He tries to put the truth in the fine print so we don't pay attention to it. And he knows that if he can get us to have just one companion that thinks that the details are important, that we too aren't going to think that they are important because evil companions corrupt good morals. You know, in print advertisements, that details often are very small. We can't read them. Sometimes on the TV screen, have you ever tried to just pause and get up close to the TV? You still can't read it. It goes by so quickly. Sometimes it seems like advertisers are trying to hide the truth. One day I was trying to look at the fine print and I couldn't read it. And I had on one pair of glasses and I put on a second pair of glasses and I had to put on a third pair of glasses just so that I could read the fine print. Sometimes people don't want us to know the details. And certainly when it comes to the things of God, Satan does not want us to know the details. I was riding in the car not long ago, and I kept hearing this advertisement. And it was about a car dealer selling a brand new car for just about $5,000. I couldn't believe it. I said, there's got to be a catch there. And so I would listen to the advertisement. And maybe on the fifth or the sixth or the seventh time, I finally caught the details as they were being said so very quickly. And what was happening is it was a lease. And you paid the whole amount of the lease up front and you didn't have any payments for the rest of the time of the lease. And so they made it sound like you were buying a car for about $5,000 and some. Now look at our scripture reading, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. The God of this age, or the ruler of this age, what does he want? What does the devil want? He has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. In other words, the devil wants to blind people. And you know what? Can he blind them with everything? Of course not. There are some of the big things that are obvious, like you should go to church. But then he blinds people with the details and will promote such things as go to the church of your choice. You see, most people know you should go to church. But if he can get us just to believe the details aren't important, it doesn't matter where you go to church. You see, he still blinded us. Turn your Bibles with me over to 2 Peter chapter 1. How about us as Christians? 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, of course, we know we should go to church, and we know it's important where we should go to church, but what is he trying to do to us? What is he trying to convince us of? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, you remember verses 5 through 7, those qualities of spiritual growth. Says, if these are yours and they are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our God Jesus, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Satan is wanting us to think it's not important to grow spiritually. Satan is wanting us to think that the things in verses 5 through 7, these qualities, that they do not need to be increasing. Satan wants us to stop growing spiritually, to stop praying, to stop studying God's Word, to stop going to church. That is what he's trying to do. The details are not important. As long as you come to church and you sit in this pew and you go home, that you are perfectly fine. You don't need to have a prayer life. You don't need to have a study life. You don't need to study to be ready for your Bible class. You can sleep during church. And you don't even need to go to church. You can skip sometimes. Other things can be more important. That's what he's trying to do for us. Trying to convince us that the details are not important. But with God, the details are important. Turn your Bibles with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. I want to give a few examples here. 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 19. Now here is David who is preparing to build the temple. And you remember, as explained here in this chapter, that because he was a man of war, that there was blood on his hands, God did not permit him personally to build it, but ordained that his son Solomon would build it after his death. But God did allow David to prepare for this building. Now look at verse 19. "All this," said David, "the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me all the details." And he's gone through all sorts of details of the visions of the priests in verse 13, verse 14, the gold tinsels, and verse 15, the other things, all the lamps, all of this. The details are important. Now look at verse 20. "Then David said to his son Solomon, be strong and courageous." And I want us to take note of this morning. We have to be strong and courageous to pay attention to the details. That it is important. Be strong and be courageous and act. Act in the way that God would have us to act. Pay attention to the details. "Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you until all the work for the service of the house of the Lord is finished." The details are important. Now go with me over to Matthew chapter 5. The details are important to Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 18. Matthew chapter 5. And verse 18, Jesus says, "For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished." With Jesus, the details are important. With God, the details are important. To the very small, minutest little things, the details are important. Now look at verse 19. "Whoever then annuls one of the least, one of the smallest, minuscule little things, least of these commandments, and teaches others to do the same, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven." The details are important to God, and the details are important to Jesus. Now turn with me to a story you're so very familiar with, and that's over in Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10. And we want to notice what happened when two men ignored small little details. Matter of fact, one little detail that to man and the wisdom of men, as Brother Flatt talked about in our high school Bible class this morning, to men this seems like it's nonsensical, that there's no reason that this would be important. But with God, the smallest little detail is important. And you remember the story of Nadab and Abihu. Chapter 10 and verse 1. "Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their respective fire pans, and after putting fire in them, placed incense on it and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came down from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, it is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I will be treated as holy, and before all the people, I will be honored." And so there was a little fire pan, probably had a little pan, there was a stick. And they were to take some fire from the altar, and they were to put the fire in there, put the incense in there, and it would burn the incense. Now we don't know where they got this fire. They got it from somewhere else. We don't know why they would get it from somewhere else. But they got this fire from somewhere else and offered this strange fire, this fire that God had not commanded. Now, in religion today, people say, well, that's crazy. Who cares where you get the fire? Fire is fire. It doesn't make any difference with God. Certainly, God would not care where you get it from. And people try to excuse and to pass off as all sorts of things. Well, God wouldn't get upset about that. That's just a little old thing. That's not important. Well, notice that these two fellows died. And why did they die? Verse 3, because they did not treat God as holy, nor did they honor him. Let me tell you something. When we don't pay attention to the details, from the details, whether it be our worship as we come together and we assemble our life, our everyday lives as we go, when we don't pay attention to the details, we do not treat God as holy. Because God is the one who has commanded these things. And if we believe and we consider that he is holy and to be referenced, we are going to do explicitly every single thing that he says, and we will not want to do anything else than what he's commanded for us. If we learn anything from the Bible, the details are important. They're important to our salvation. And the phrase here, the devil is in the details. The devil is trying to get us to ignore, to bypass, to not care about the details. And details, the details show whether or not we truly reverence God. Whether or not we truly love God. Sinful men are not concerned about the details, but holy and righteous men are concerned about every detail because that's from God. Now, the third point this morning, the details are in whatever. And that's a popular phrase today. Someone will be having a conversation, they'll disagree, they'll say, whatever. What are they talking about? So, that's the details. I don't care about that. I don't care about your details. That's just what you, whatever. But when it comes to God, whatever is important. Turn your Bibles with me to Colossians 3:17. Another passage that you know so well. Now in the New American Standard, the first word in the verse is whatever. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. In other words, the details are important in everything, in every detail. Whatever you do, in every decision that you make, from how late you stayed up last night, to what time you got up this morning, to whether or not you ate breakfast, God is to be considered in all of these things. We must consider His will in every detail. Turn your Bibles with me over to Matthew chapter 10. Let's look at an illustration here. Matthew chapter 10. And Jesus here is pointing out the small little detail of even giving a cup of water. Even giving a cup of water. How much smaller of a detail can you get to with that? Jesus says this, and whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. Hey, you know the song we just sang, number 620, Room in the Kingdom? It talks about this. Mike, I appreciate you leading that song. The small things you can do, just a small kindly deed. Verse 2, a cup of water given, there's room in the kingdom. What's that song about? There's room in the kingdom. There's work for you to do. There are details that need to be dealt with and need to be handled. You know, when we sin when we let the details slip through the cracks. When we don't pay attention to the whatever, when we don't pay attention to the details, we sin. Remember Peter? Hey, here an apostle. This is so incredible. Here's an apostle. And he's in Antioch. And everything is fine. And Paul is there and Peter is there and the Gentiles are there. But then some Jews come from James. And now Peter holds himself aloof and he did not eat with them. He's prejudiced. He is condemned. He had sinned. His soul was lost. Here's an apostle. And Paul confronts him to the face. Rebukes him for the sin. Now the Bible doesn't go into the details. I'm sure he repented. I'm sure he corrected that. The details are important, even as to whether you eat with someone or don't eat with them. Details are important. How about Ananias and Sapphira? We remember that story, don't we? The details are important. You know, they said they gave all the money, and they didn't give all the money. And that was not a problem, Peter says. If you don't want to give all the money, that's not the problem. The problem is you lied about it. Small little detail. That's a white lie. We would call that a white lie. They were very benevolent. They did a good thing. How can you be lost by being so charitable? Well, a little white lie, that's not going to make a difference, is it? Just a little white lie? And in the world today, white lies are no problems. As a matter of fact, white lies are promoted. Tell someone they look nice when they really don't. You know, tell them you like them when you really don't. It makes them feel good. And it's okay to make people feel good. White lies are okay. Well, this was one of those white lies. And they died for that. The devil is in the details. The devil is in the details. And you know, if someone tries to hide the details, if someone tries to convince us the details aren't important, that's a red flag for us. Someone's trying to hide the truth. Someone's trying to deceive us. The details are important in every single thing. Every single thing. Well, you know we'll be judged according to the details. 2 Corinthians 5:10, we'll be judged, we'll be recompensed for every deed, whether good or bad, every deed. The details are important. Remember Jesus, Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, we'll give account for every idle word. These are even the words we didn't mean to say, but they just slipped out. That's happened to us all, right? I didn't mean to say that. Too bad you did. And you know what? We'll stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ and give an account for that word that just slipped out. Didn't even mean it. We're going to give account for it. We'll be judged for the details. Turn your Bibles with me over to Matthew chapter 25. And here's Jesus. You're so familiar with this passage. And he's talking about judgment. He's talking about the sheep and the goat being parted on the right and the left. In verse 34, then the king will say to them on his right, that's the righteous, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you visited me. Naked, and you clothed me. And I was sick, and you visited me. And I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in and naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. What's the meaning here? What is Jesus telling the people about judgment? Why didn't he name some big things? Why did he name these little things that oftentimes people ignore and overlook? I think the reason for that, at least one reason for that, Jesus is saying, look, the details are important. You're going to be judged for the details, the little things that you may do to someone else. You're going to be held accountable for that. The details are important. The devil is in the details. But you know what? So is salvation. Many think this phrase, the devil is in the details, was originally came from another phrase. There was another phrase preceding this. Someone just altered it a little bit. God is in the details. God is in the details. And that is so true that God is in every single little detail and every single little thing is important. And not one thing should be overlooked. Not one thing should we say, oh, that's not important. Everything's important. Everything's in the whatever of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. So now test yourself, will you? Turn your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Jesus is the one who has set this up for us. The details are important. We're going to be judged by the details. Whether we give someone a drink, whether we visit them, whether we see them when they're in prison, and they need something to wear, we give them something to wear. Hebrews chapter 13, the admonition here in verses 15 and 16. Through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. And you know what? We're living in a time and an age when Satan and those around us are trying to get us not to praise God with our lips, it's not politically correct. We must be tolerant. You can't be tolerant of others if you're there praising God. They disagree. So keep your mouth shut. This is the test, though. This is the test. Let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, to give thanks to His name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. You know, sometimes people say things and you just never forget them. Yeah, Mike Matthews, PowerPoint, the acid test. I've never forgot. I've used it in sermons and other places since then. The acid test. This is very much like James, to be doers of the word, to control our tongues, and to be visiting widows and orphans, to see to their needs. That's the acid test. It's not coming to church. Coming to church is easy. It's not going to sit in a classroom for a Bible class. That's easy. The hard part is what we decide to do in our lives when we're by ourselves out in the world. If we're going to praise God, if we're going to do good, if we're going to share, what are we going to do with our own time? That's the acid test. That is the acid test. So I want to give an illustration. I do so cautiously. But you know, I have to talk about things that are important to me and in the day and the time. I've talked about all that so many people here do. I've talked about the single moms who slave away for hours to clean the kitchen of a widow. I've talked about those who will do the laundry of another. I've talked about those who will take their lunch hour and go do something benevolent for another. I want to talk about someone else today. I want to talk about a couple. A young couple, they slave away working 16, 18 hours a day as nothing for the man. Not wealthy and not poor. The man participates in leadership in the church, and the lady teaches Bible class. The lady spends endless hours, especially with one widow who needs her, doing chores and visiting. They work every week to have their home ready to receive Christians and visitors who frequently come in. They spend hundreds of dollars every month to spend time with those who need their time, feeding and transporting others, sometimes feeding 20 or 30 at a time with no help at all. I recently talked to the young people as they've been the benefit of this young couple. I pointed out all they're doing, and I said, have you all stopped to think about the financial investment they are making in you? You just count up the dollars. Count up the dollars. They could have gone and bought a new house. They could have gone and bought a new car. They could have financial security and be saving more for retirement, but they decided to invest in others. This young couple's been an inspiration to me lately. And I've thought a lot about them. I've thought a lot about them in respect to the verses we've read here in Hebrews 13, 15, and 16. And I thought about them. I have never seen a young couple more concerned about others and helping others and doing for others and making an investment in others. I've never seen it in all my life. Never. I personally owe them a debt of gratitude for all they've done for my family. I can never repay them. Their names are Ben and Ashley Johnson. Their example to me, it's such that it makes me want to do better. It wants me to dedicate myself more, not just to serve myself and not for my own needs and for my own aspirations, but that for others. As I think about what they do and what they've done for me, the devil is in the details, but more importantly, God is in the details. And so I ask you, as I have done, to test yourself. Are the details important? Are the details important? The devil wants us to think that the details aren't important. But for us as Christians, we know the details are important. And we strive. We strive to serve God and to honor Him and to glorify Him and to treat Him as holy by doing everything He would have us to do. Test yourself. Are you attentive to the details? The devil's in the details, but so is God. If the details are important to you, but you're not a Christian this morning, we're going to sing a song, Zion's Call, if you'd like to get your songbooks out, number 285. And if the details are important to you this morning, you cannot be withheld from rendering obedience to God. No one could stop you this morning. If you're a Christian here this morning and maybe the details have not been as important to you as they ought to be, you're going to be committed to changing your life, to improving, to being better this very day. And if there's something amiss in your life that you need to make public, you need to ask for the prayer of the congregation. You cannot be withheld because you want to treat God as holy, honor Him, and glorify Him in your life. We're going to stand and sing 285. If we can help you at all, I want you to come to the front now as we stand and sing.